Welcome everyone, Nate from Userlytics here, and today we have another exciting episode of the UX Spotlight interview series. I have my buddy Ricardo here, and Ricardo, I really appreciate you joining the podcast.
No problems, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, before we jump in, Ricardo, just a brief intro that we always like to give. Ricardo Ramirez is a self-taught UX designer. Really, really excited for you to share your story with us today, but also a UX consultant and a mentor, currently Toronto native and also a self-proclaimed outdoor adventurer. Ricardo, why don't you give us just a little bit of background on yourself before we jump in here?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, my name is Ricardo. I'm originally from Venezuela, but I've actually been living in Toronto for about 17 years now coming this summer. So it's been quite an adventure. Originally came for studies and then, you know, worked through my permanent residency. And now I'm officially a Canadian citizen. And Toronto is my home. This is where I kind of like do my work and, you know, have my friends and my family. And that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Yeah, great. Well, I hope it's warming up there in Toronto. As I know, the winters are cold there.
Yes, it is starting to warm up, you know, but it's still that time of the year when sometimes you get like some snow and then like 14 degrees and then sunny. And you was trying to figure out, you know, is the spring coming or not? But definitely looks like it's coming up.
Well, if you need any sunshine, you can always pop down here to South Florida. We got some for you. Ricardo, I want to hear a little bit about your UX journey and want to start with kind of where UX started for you. Obviously, here at Userlytics, we're like all about user experience and research and design and testing. And from what I remember, you didn't necessarily start in UX. So kind of tell us a little bit about where it all started for you.
Yeah, so it's actually a funny story because like I mentioned, I originally came to Canada for studies and I went to school for computer science. So that's kind of my background. And when I graduated, I started kind of like chasing the programming jobs. You know, it was kind of like the cool thing to do at the time. Now, apparently, artificial intelligence is doing most of the programming these days. But at the time, I was like, okay, I want to get my hands dirty. I want to write code. And then I remember even like looking through some of my co-op terms, which are kind of like internships. I was trying to really make sure that I would get some like hands-on experience, like actually writing code. And then I followed that path for like a few years. And I remember just kind of like being like, you know, chasing the money kind of thing. Cause I remember seeing this like software architects that were like making a lot of money. I'm like, I want to be that guy, you know, I want that salary. And then a few years in, I just realized like I was so miserable just sitting behind a computer 8 hours a day, you know, reading blogs, copying and pasting code, debugging code. I was like, this is not my thing. Right. And then from there, I basically started like a bit of a, I think it was, you know, like a time to like think about what I really wanted to do and like what I was really good at. So I actually signed up for like a coaching program that allowed me to, you know, do like a lot of introspection. And I started like looking back in my career and analyzing like, okay, what is the type of work that I like doing? You know, when do I feel most positive about things? And I kind of realized that it was a lot of the times was when I was talking to people, like figured out problems, you know, coming up with like creative solutions and things like that. And I was lucky enough to work for a consulting company at the time that originally I started doing programming for them, but they allowed me to experiment with different roles. Once I told them, you know, that I was in this journey to like change my career and then I didn't really feel like coding anymore. They allowed me to explore with like different kinds of role, like business analysis. I even tried sales for a bit. It wasn't my thing either. And they very much focused on employee experience design. And they had a lot of UX practitioners at the time. And I remember we landed on like a combination of roles, right? They said, okay, you're still going to do a little bit of programming, but you're going to do a little bit of business analysis. And make sure you spend some time with the UXers, right? Because you seem to have like a natural interest in that. And that's what I did, you know, that's how I discovered UX. And then I started learning by just being with these practitioners, you know, in the field, in projects, like I would sign myself up for projects, just to like learn about things, you know, ask them like, how do you run this workshop? What is this information architecture thing and how do you do it? Right. And that's kind of like how I discover UX. It was a very organic process. And then from there, I kind of like just caught the bug for it. And started like, you know, to your point earlier, this self kind of like teaching UX throughout the years.
Yeah, I love that story. I think I'm right there with you that that coding for 8 hours a day would be rough. I don't know if I could do it either, but I kind of love how you like that relationship side of things. UX kind of naturally drew you in. Tell us a little bit about once you started to get into UX, once you kind of realized this is something I want to do. I know you had some interest in potentially doing like some school, but ended up going the self-taught route. So give us a little bit of background on how that happened and how you self-taught yourself to do UX and UX design.
Yeah, I think the way it started is because, and this is typical in the world of UX and service design and other adjacent disciplines. There's a lot of like imposter syndrome at the beginning, right? And there's so much material, there's so much content out there, there's so many practitioners, so many like influencers, like talking about how you're supposed to do these things that it could be like really overwhelming. And you're almost like, okay, where do I start? And like, am I really built for this, right? So the way that I approach it was that, I'm gonna take like one concept at a time. And like I said, like I would talk to this practitioner and I saw them that they were doing like a content audit to put together, let's say like an information architecture for like a big website or an intranet. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna learn this little piece because it feels I feel comfortable with that. Like this feels like something that I can tackle. And then once I feel, like I've mastered that topic, I'll jump on to the next one, right? And I was like, organically asking people like, what do you think, what do you think I should learn next? Or like what comes after this? Or how, where did you learn to facilitate workshops, for example? And then, somebody would send me down the path of like the GameStorming group, for example. And then I was all about GameStorming. Like I bought the books, I signed up for like their online program. And so on. And it was really more, I guess, like an exploration for me. But also the fact that, I tried to sign up for like design communities here in Toronto. Like at the time, there was like a big design community here. And they wouldn't let me in their Slack channel because I didn't have a designer title and I also didn't have a portfolio. And it was like one of the requirements to get into the community. And I was like, oh man, this is so unfortunate because I realized through the coaching that I mentioned earlier and like the introspection that I learn best when I'm like with others, asking them questions, like actually practicing some of the things and like again, like taking a big component and then breaking it down into smaller pieces that I can tackle and then, continue the learning from there. And I felt like a community, like a design community, would be the perfect place for that. But they didn't let me in. So I was like, and then even later on, once I got a lot of experience doing, experience design and UX and even service design and got certifications and all of that, I was like, okay, I need more of like a formal education. I need something that I can put on my resume. And I applied to like master's programs and things like that in design. And I remember like doing like a stellar application. It was like a big essay. This is at a time where there was an AI, to like help you write these things. And they said like, no, like you had a great profile. We could put you in the wait list, but this program is very popular. We get lots of applicants from all over the world. And I was like, oh man, that sucks, right? So then from there, just like whatever, like I'm just gonna take it, matters into my own hands and. I started like buying books, signing for classes and things like that. And honestly, I feel like it's been a long journey, but it's been one that I've kind of like truly enjoyed. Like I really get a lot of satisfaction out of the learning process. It's not necessarily like mastering a subject, but it's actually like the process of getting there, right? Like it's not about saying like, okay, now I feel like I'm an expert UX designer or a UX consultant or whatever. But the process of what it takes me to get there is what I truly enjoy. And that's something that I actually learned through the coaching program as well, where we did some tests and things like that, like personality tests and things like that. And I learned a lot about myself. Like, this is how I like to learn. It's like I like to learn by moving, by reading, by, being with others and things like that. So like looking back, I feel like, it's been the best way for me to learn. It's also been like my own agenda. I've set my own curriculum. Like if I'm interested in learning about behavioral science, which I've been doing, a lot in the last couple of years, I've been like digging all the books about behavioral science, putting certain things, certain elements into practice, and then just like slowly but surely moving from there.
Yeah, I think that's so cool. It's like the more you learn about the UX, more you learn about UX in general, kind of the more you learn about yourself. And I kind of love that kind of self-motivated process that you went through to, kind of overcome some of those challenges. I think one thing that might be helpful is, let's say maybe there's some new designers or some new UXers out there, right? And they're listening to this. What would be some advice that you would give them? Maybe some places to start that was either helpful for you or that you would might give them as advice.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, like the whole industry has evolved so much. It's pretty easy for somebody to just like go online and, look at the likes of like the Nielsen-Norman Group and, some of those like more well-established kind of like consultancies and design practices and find like a lot of the foundational elements of UX that I think are really important to learn. Things like, and there's lots of books too that are now basically proven themselves like time and time again over the years as they get, published and used all over, schools all over the world. But I think outside of the foundations, like learning, information architecture and, principles of visual design and all of that good stuff, I really think like, as a UX practitioner, especially the way that the market is right now, which is so crazy, is like you really have to like combine that basic knowledge or that foundational knowledge with like your own perspective, like think about your own, life, what brought you to the place that you're at, what is the reason, why you're doing UX, maybe you're changing your career, maybe this is something that you always wanted to do from the beginning, and try to like bring in that, your own perspective into it, like your own experiences that made you the individual that you are, combined with the foundational knowledge to like really make you or help you stand out, right? And to really like follow your interest. Like the world of UX is so big. There's so many different practices right now. Like I've worked in environments, for example, at the bank where we had like strategic foresight groups, we had service designers, we had UX researchers, we had behavioral science people, and it was amazing to like be in that place where I can see like all these different practices and the value that they bring and how they operate. But at the end of the day, most of them are based on the same principles, right, of like human-centered design, and just really follow your interests, right? Like if you have a curiosity about, let's say, strategic foresight, then go deeper into that, read some books, talk to some people that work in that field, like seek mentorship, that kind of stuff. Because there's no like single path into UX, if that makes sense. And UX is so broadly applicable these days, and it's in so many different industries that there really isn't, a way to like establish, a well-defined path that you can follow to like become a UX practitioner. So I think that's what I would recommend, like, get the foundations in place. Those are well documented, well established all over the internet, and then add your own flavor to it, and then follow your curiosity, see where it takes you.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. I totally understand like coming into UX, it's a big world, right? Lots of different ways and pathways you could go. So it could be a bit daunting, but I think that's really good feedback and kind of advice, right? Build the foundation and then you kind of customize your way from there. One thing that we've chatted about previously that I know is pretty vital, especially today in such a remote world, right? It's just kind of networking and networking specifically in UX. You have kind of an interesting story and a little bit of a full circle moment. But before we kind of jump into that, tell us a little bit about kind of your method with networking, where again, some of the new researchers can kind of, when they're sitting there at their house and they're like, where do I start with this, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that networking is important, what kind of advice or comments would you give?
Yeah, I laugh because networking is such a, it's such a big topic, and then everyone has so many different opinions about it, and it can be so awkward, for some people as well, and especially like if you're starting your career and like you've never done it and things like that. And I like simple things, I always tell the people that I mentor, when they ask me about networking, it's just like you're making friends, like imagine you have a natural interest in the individual that you're talking to, and you want to be curious about them. You want to ask them, you want to get personal. You want to know what is it that they're trying to do, what problems do they have. Like, it's funny, a lot of like early practitioners that are approaching it working as a very transactional. You know, they're almost like going to the specific person is like, I want to get this thing from you. You know, I want a referral. I want you to teach me something. But I always tell people to like flip the equation, you know, around and then ask how you can be helpful first, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can actually start asking for things or, you know, building the relationship from there, or things will start naturally occurring for you. I think networking is huge. You know, it was huge back then when I started, you know, my UX career. And I think it's even bigger now because, you know, this problem that we're having with like artificial intelligence and application tracking systems, it's really easy for somebody to just like put together a resume, a cover letter, even a portfolio. There's like hundreds of thousands of, you know, blog posts out there that tell you like how to put together a portfolio. There's programs that teach you how to do it. There's like intensive, you know, 6-week programs that help you build your portfolio. You can pay somebody. So there's really, it's very difficult to stand out today just by simply sending a good resume and a cover letter. And I think networking, that's where it's becoming like increasingly even more important, right? And funny enough, so like my own story with networking and how I realized how important it was is, you know, when I was in that period of my career, when I was trying to get into like different design communities and things like that, I remember I finally got into this particular event that they were running at the City Hall, at the City of Toronto. There was a team as part of the city, the customer experience transformation team. And they, you know, gave out like some of their facilities to basically run this design event. And I met a guy there that used to work for the city. And I remember just like striking conversation, right? Like he was just like literally sitting right next to me. And I asked him, you know, what brings you to this event? And then we just started connecting. And I made it that it was nothing about work, right? Like the first maybe 30 minutes, we're just like, I have a natural interest in you as a person. I want to get to know you. You seem like a great guy. You're here. We probably have something in common because I'm here too, right? So we start, you know, we started talking, and then an hour goes by, and then we're still talking. And then at the end, you know, I remember like, okay, this was like a really good conversation. And then, you know, I remember asking him like, do you care if I add you on LinkedIn? And he's like, no, totally. Let's, you know, add me. Let's stay connected. You never know. You know, maybe there's opportunities in the future or whatever. And then like a year later, I remember trying to poach him from the city to come work for us, you know, for the company that I was working on. He was like, no, man, like, I'm good. You know, like, it's all, you know, I'm having a good time here. Maybe, you know, this is not for me. I was like, okay, that's okay. And then a few months later, this position came up on LinkedIn, and it was for a service design role at the city, which I really wanted to get into service design at the time. And again, same problem. I didn't have service design titles in my experience. So very hard to like get a job right out of the get-go. And I remember seeing the posting, it was for his team. So I reach out to him and I'm like, hey, I'm looking at this job posting. It has like 80 different responsibilities. Like, are you trying to scare people away? Like, what is going on here? He was like, no, you know, we're actually the country. We're trying to bring new talent, you know, from outside the city and like fresh thinking and all of that. And I'm like, okay, you know, if you don't mind putting in a word for me, like I would love to put my name in the hat, but I know that this thing is not going to go anywhere if I just send my resume through like an ATS system. And he's like, yeah, no worries. Like, let me just talk to the, you know, the hiring manager or whatever. And then he was able to like put me in front of that hiring manager. I think it was like 500 people that applied to that role. Wow. And I ended up getting hired as, you know, one of the ones that applied because they had like 2 or 3 different positions open. And I can only attribute that to this connection that I made with this person a year before, because that's the other misconception about networking. Like, people think they start, you know, they need to start doing networking when they need a job. You need to be always doing networking all the time, so you're on people's kind of like heads, you know, when they have the opportunities, they're thinking of you. They're like, okay, I remember this guy. Like, he mentioned he was really passionate about this topic, or he was really good at this, or he had this kind of experience, and keep nurturing those relationships over time, right? Like, you have to give in order to receive something back. So I think that's my thing with networking. It takes practice, but I always recommend to, you know, the people that I mentor, like, make it a weekly practice, you know, make it a weekly habit of like reaching out to somebody on LinkedIn that you feel naturally curious about, or going back to somebody that you work with in the past, you know, because that's also another channel. And then have a virtual coffee. Like, these days is so easy, right? After COVID, like, everyone's so used to like just going online for 25 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, you don't need to necessarily arrange a time where you need to go to a coffee place and, you know, be like all uncomfortable with yourself. Like, how do I sit here? Like, how do I talk? You know, you can start online and then move to like an in-person conversation. So,
I mean, I think a great example, right, of build a relationship with someone, not really expecting anything transactional to come out of it, and you really never know where those are going to go. I think it's good advice, just kind of getting yourself out there. I mean, that kind of really applies really anywhere in life, but I think especially for your newer UXers out there, just kind of building relationships. You know, LinkedIn's really easy just to, you know, comment on people's posts and just start engaging, and everyone appreciates a little bit of engagement. I want to maybe flip it a little bit, right? Because you've done a little bit of mentoring yourself, right? And so there's a lot of, let's say, more seasoned UXers out there. And I want to talk a little bit about like mentorship for them, right? Because maybe there's some people out there who could be helping the next generation of UXers. I'm wondering kind of what encouraged you to start your mentorship program, and kind of maybe what advice you'd give to, again, our more seasoned people out there who might be interested in starting to build up some of the next generation.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think me going into mentoring, it was a little bit of like paying it forward kind of thing. I think earlier in my career, I had a lot of people available to me that I could just, you know, by default of just like being in the same working environment, I could go to them and ask questions and ask them to teach me something. Or even like when we were working on a project together and I didn't feel comfortable about like maybe running like a big, you know, workshop with like executives, you know, for example, of like a big company, I could easily, you know, go to this more senior person and tell them, you know what, I don't feel comfortable about like maybe running this interview, but I'll be happy to take notes. You know, can we do that division of labor for this time around? I promise this the next time around, I'll definitely take, you know, control of it, but I just want to see you do it so I can learn from you, you know? And I had a lot of people like that, that they were very open and flexible. And, you know, at some point when I was further in my career, I'm like, okay, I love to do the same for others, right? And regardless of whether we're in the same work environment or not. So that's when I started doing like, you know, free mentoring and things like that. That's primarily what it's been for me. It's kind of like, you know, back to your point of networking, is about, you know, giving something to the world and see what comes back. And honestly, like it's paid well in like, you know, recommendations, and like I get referrals from people that I, you know, mentored to, where they, you know, they have a company that are thinking about a project and they're like, oh, you should talk to this guy because he's really good. Because, you know, we share a lot of stories. Like when I go into mentoring, it's never like a well-defined program, you know, like we're going to jump into this 6-week program and this is where we're going to work. You know, like I make it, to me, mentoring is about networking. I make it about like this person, you know, where are you at right now? Where are you stuck? You know, what do you want to learn? And then how can I help you unlock that next step? Like a lot of my mentoring doesn't really go long-term. Like I have people that come back like a year later and they tell me about like how they've evolved their careers, you know, and how they were able to like achieve something. But for me, mentoring is about like unlocking you, you know, from like that very specific place in your life. It's hard to explain like where you might be stuck or where you want to somebody to provide you a different perspective. And I had a lot of that, you know, early in my career. I felt like it was really important in my development, and me going back to mentoring and even teaching as well, has been about that, has been about like giving back. This is my perspective of UX. This is what I've learned. This is what I've applied. You know, this is what it has worked for me. I never promote it as like a formula. You know, there's a lot of programs out there, like this is the 4-step thing that you need to do. It's just about sharing my experience, my lived experience with others, and then helping them make something out of it, you know, and also about learning from other people too. Like I really enjoy listening to like early practitioners and people like meet in their careers. Like I get a lot of people that are trying to switch, you know, from like an adjacent career maybe into service design, because now I'm doing a lot more service design these days. And they're like, how do you get into service design? You know, how did you do it? You know, with all the titles and what do you need to learn and this and that. And I always tell them, like, you know, this is what I've done. I don't know if it's going to work for you, but, you know, hear this and try to take something out of it, mix it again with your perspective, your life, where you're at right now, and see if it helps you kind of get to that next step.
Yeah, I mean, I like that you meet people where they're at. I mean, everyone's kind of on their own journey, and there's really no, you know, 3-5-step process to, you know, because everyone's going to want maybe a different position or have a different goal. So I like that it's very flexible. But I'm also interested, you know, for some of the people that you've mentored before, what's like some of the common challenges that your mentees are facing as they're kind of maybe trying to broach a new area of design, service design? What are some of the common challenges that people face?
Yeah, I think one of the most common ones is like, how do I sell this internally? You know, like that, and that, I think that applies to service design, to UX, to whatever, right? And I always kind of like tell them or point them to like, you know, a couple of different books that I've read on like business and like speaking the language of business, right? And, you know, designers are very much, how do I say this? Like we're very creative. We like to live in the space where we solve the problem, and it's very ideal. Like we most of the time we live in like an ideal world, and it's important to have that ideal, you know, that vision, that kind of like higher goal that you're trying to get to. But at the same time, it's like, okay, how do we bring that back? You know, how do we translate that back for somebody that maybe doesn't speak design, somebody that has never studied human-centered design, somebody that, you know, I've had executive told me, you know, what is this fluffy stuff that you're talking about? And that can be hard for, you know, a practitioner to hear at the beginning of their career. Like, what do you mean fluffy? Like this is, you know, I'm putting all of my might here and all my brain and all my creativity. But I always, you know, tell people like it's very important to tweak your communication style to who you're speaking to. You know, you're speaking to a business leader, you're speaking to an executive, or you're speaking to the engineering team. They all care about different things, right? And they all speak different languages, and you know, they have different ways that you can connect with them. And this is what also like the power of networking also helps. It's like once you start connecting with many different kinds of people through networking, not for transactional purposes, but for like, you know, real, genuine, I want to build a relationship with you. You're going to meet engineers, you're going to meet business people, you're going to meet, you know, entrepreneurs, like all kinds of people. And that's going to give you skills to like speak differently depending on, you know, who you're talking to. So I think that's one of the biggest ones that I get all the time is like, how do I sell this thing? How do I convince the product team, you know, that we should do this journey map or that you should do this service blueprint? The other common one is people that want to transition, right? So it could, maybe they come from like graphic design, maybe, you know, they come from like HR and they learn about service design or about UX somewhere and they cut the bug, right? So they're like, where do I start again? Because, you know, what we talked about at the beginning. So there's so much information out there. And then most of the times, you know, I tell them, you know, this is what it worked for me. Let's say I spoke to an individual not too long ago. She's a nurse working at a hospital. And then she learned about, you know, service design. I can't remember where. I think it was a conference or something like that. And she was like, you know, this makes a lot of sense. Like, I really want to bring this into our, you know, department and this and that. And I told them, okay, so if you go in, you know, and try to sell like this service design engagement out of the blue, it obviously, you're probably going to hit a wall very soon, right? So why don't you take, like, let's talk about like an artifact that she was really interested in, which is kind of like the service blueprint. And I was like, okay, what parts of that artifact do you feel you could tackle or you feel comfortable with? And then we discussed that, right? And then I said to her, you know, start by building this blueprint for you, you know, and see what comes out of it. And if you feel comfortable and confident that this is kind of like yielding some insights that you think will be beneficial for your group, talk to your manager and just show that as kind of like, hey, you know, like just drop it casually. Like, I built this thing. I'm wondering what you're thinking, you know. And then she's done that. And then the manager was like, oh my God, this is so good. You know, like, how can we get more of this? And then you start kind of like building that momentum and almost like practice and almost like, in a way, I think today she's probably doing more service design than actually nurse work with still a title that has nothing to do with service design, right? So that's another one, you know, people trying to incorporate some of these concepts, some of these ways of thinking into what they're already doing. And, you know, a lot of times people come to me and say, like, I want to become this thing. I want to get this title. And I'm like, okay, you might not need that. You know, you might need to just like start applying some of the concepts and then start building from there. I think sometimes that's a bit easier than, you know, trying to like do like a whole career change, you know, a pivot right from the beginning. So I think those two are kind of like the top two that I get. And then there's always like, you know, can you look at my resume? You know, can you look at my portfolio? I can't find a job. I've been applying for jobs for 6 months, 8 months. Like, what is wrong with me? Am I broken? You know, you're just like, it's a tough market. Again, you know, who are you talking to? You know, who have you been talking to in the past year or two? And, you know, try to get that networking game going.
Yeah, one of the things that you mentioned that I love, and I don't want people to miss it, because you gave kind of two really, really important things. But one of them that I want to reiterate that I think is really good is kind of networking where you are, right? I think a lot of times when we think of networking, we think of, I'm going to go to a conference and meet a bunch of new people, or I'm just going to start saying hello to random people. It's about networking like with people I don't know, but networking with people within your sphere, right? Within maybe your current role, your current company. And as you mentioned, right, sometimes it's hard to get points across to non-UX people, right? But if there's that relationship, you know, let's say with the business stakeholders or the engineers, right, the more they're comfortable with you, probably the more that they're going to be able to listen. So I think that's super cool advice.
That's huge. You know, like, it's just making me think of another aspect of networking, which I think is really valuable, is like when you start talking to people at different events and different kinds of roles, and then you start talking about yourself, you know, what is it that you do? You're putting yourself out there and it's helping you refine your messaging so much and your value, because you're gonna hit, like, as soon as you tell, you know, this happened to me not too long ago. I was like in a tech conference, and, you know, this is not my typical audience. Like, I usually go to design conference and things like that, and I'm like, I'm going to dive into like the tech startup world in Toronto, see what that looks like. And I'm telling people, you know, like, this is what I do. And they're like, oh, so is that business analysis, or is that, you know, marketing? And I'm realizing that maybe the way that I'm communicating something to this individual is not hitting the course that I want, right? And that helps me change my messaging, tweak my, you know, how I sell myself, how I talk about what I do. And it's just practice, right? So even that aspect of networking is really important. It's about like putting yourself out there and seeing how others see you, so you can actually make the necessary changes that you need. Because sometimes we feel like, you know, we're talking about the most beautiful thing, you know, I'm a human-centered design practitioner and I do all this, and people are like, what the hell is that? You know, like, sounds cool, but like, how do I eat that? You know? So it's really about that too. It's really helping you like hone in your value proposition and your messages as well.
Yeah. It's a bit of a muscle, right? And kind of just like anything, the more you do it, the more comfortable and the better that you'll be at it. So, I love that. Wondering, you know, I know that you said that you do a mentorship. Let's say someone listening is interested, right? I don't know where to network. I'd love to reach out to Ricardo and maybe just have a conversation with him. Where can people reach out to connect with you?
Yeah, I think the best way would be through LinkedIn. I think my profile is open to get, you know, the free messages or whatever. So you don't need to have like a premium account. I used to be on a platform for like free mentoring, but now I'm in the process of like switching that up and looking for a new platform. So in the meantime, I think, you know, the best way is through LinkedIn. I'm always very open to like talking to people, you know, learning what they're struggling with, what they're trying to do. And, you know, happy to respond through LinkedIn messages, you know, probably within a day or two, depending on how busy I am, but I'm very responsive.
Yeah, wonderful. And we'll have Ricardo's LinkedIn linked below so that it's easy to access and find him. As we kind of wrap it up here, Ricardo, wondering if you have kind of just any call to action, right? Anything that you would encourage, again, the listeners of like, this would be where I would encourage people to go look or to go do. Kind of just like any last thoughts to wrap us up here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I don't know if disappointed or not, but like I won't point anyone to like a specific resource other than themselves, right? I always tell people, you know, when they come to me for mentoring or like I'm discussing with, you know, other practitioners in the field, you know, figure out like your why first, you know, like why is it that you're doing this? Why do you want to get into UX? You know, what aspects of it really, you know, catch your attention and what do you feel curious about? And then just follow that, you know, use your curiosity to like guide you through the process and try not to put yourself in a box of like, I need to learn this, 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 and that. No, like learn what you feel passionate about, what you feel curious about, and then see how you can apply that, you know, in the context that you are. Again, still with that business mindset, I think it's really important for people to understand that you're still in the context of the business. We're still living in capitalism, at least here in North America. You need to, you know, you need to help these businesses be successful or there won't be any, you know, any jobs, you know, for you. So, you know, try to balance those two, you know, the ideal world with like the practicality of the business environment. And I think, you know, you'll be good for the rest of your career.
Absolutely. You know, I think UX is a journey. You never truly reach the destination, right? The goalposts just constantly move, right? But really enjoy that process and that journey while you're on it. Meet some new people, make some new friends, and hopefully be successful overall. So Ricardo, I really appreciate you joining, spending a little time, giving us your thoughts. And I hope that you continue to build your mentorship program because I think you just have a wealth of insights on how to really do it yourself, how to really mix into the industry. I think you really have a wide breadth of knowledge.
Awesome. No, thank you for having me. This was really fun.
All right, Ricardo, stay warm up there and we'll be chatting soon.
Thanks.
Analytics tells you what? Userlytics tells you why.